I ask that the church says amen. It always is a good feeling and an honor to stand before you and bring the message. I promise not to bore you too much today, but I was given an assignment from Pastor Jeff and a word from the Lord to share with you today. But before I start, Athena, thank you. Yeah, it's a great feeling for me knowing she just got baptized, and then it always brings great joy, you know, to see the youth wanting to be involved. So I thank you for that. So I ask that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. I said, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for your word. I ask that you breathe into this place like only you can. I pray, Lord, that you speak in this house on today. I pray in the beautiful name of your son, Jesus. Amen. The 23rd Psalm. It's a familiar text. But before I start and get too deep into the sermon, I ask and I encourage those of you who are Bible readers or Bible studiers, if that's a word, I like to challenge you, especially when it comes to a familiar text like this, not just to read the Bible verse by verse, but I encourage you to read it word by word, because every word is infused with something. And when it's a familiar text, the message becomes so familiar that we don't listen. And the 23rd Psalm, as I said, is a familiar text. As you've all heard before, the 23rd Psalm is the best known psalm, and we all love it. Both young and old know it. It's memorized by kids. It's read at funerals. We don't know if David wrote this as a young shepherd boy or wise old king, but we do not know if he wrote it during a period of peaceful reflection or if he was in a season of worry when he was worried about being killed. But this does not hinder our ability to understand or appreciate this text. To the contrary, it helps us to relate to it in a more personal way. You see, we may not know when David wrote it, but we do know that this 23rd Psalm is a psalm of God's divine protection. And we know that the definition of protection is the action of protecting someone or something. So here David is narrating to us how God is the chief shepherd. Notice the phrase, the Lord. The Psalms begins and ends with the Lord. This establishes the importance of the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. Whatever David was going through, despite his circumstances, he was still able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is David's way of telling us that because he has a personal relationship with God, he trusts the shepherd for all of his needs. Notice the phrase, is my shepherd. Usually when I speak, all the grammatic errors and everything being grammatically correct, I stay away from it. But here, David, grammatically speaking, there are two words in this verse that is part of this verse, that the first word is a present tense verb, is. The word is. What does the word is imply? Some try to live on it. Some try to testify with it about the past experiences. But it says God. That's what it says. It says the Lord is my shepherd. One thing that David doesn't say is, the Lord was my shepherd. Think about it. If others only plan to get close to the Lord shepherd in the future, the Lord will be my shepherd. Y'all missed it. Think about it. He didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. David plainly states the Lord is present tense. This means two things. Right now, the Lord will care for you and protect you on this day. Right here, you don't have to go someplace else to get the shepherd's care. He will care for you and protect you right where you are. David had complete assurance that he belonged to God. There was no ifs, ands, buts, or not even a I hope so. David knew this. The second personal pronoun was my. Notice again that David did not say the Lord is a shepherd. That would make him a shepherd for you and me and everyone else. Ask yourself, who or what is your shepherd? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it the growth of your bank account? Your 401k? What is your shepherd? He did not say, the Lord is our shepherd. Again, that makes him relate to you and me in a crowd. And me here right now with you, I'm only one of so many. But rather, David knew that he belonged to the Lord and that the Lord belonged to him. You see, a shepherd may be the owner of the sheep, but more than this, he is always the manager of the sheep. You see, the shepherd guides them everywhere they go and literally makes their decisions for them. The great decision that you will ever make as a believer is that you no longer are in charge of your life and your decisions. I'm a witness to that. Whether you completely surrender to him and to put your trust in his position, again, position as your shepherd. When we look back at verse 1, we see David saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David talks about the Lord being the shepherd through the lens of the provision. The provision is shown through the supply of water. You see, in verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, these two statements, the shepherd and the sheep, it's a metaphor to describe how the Lord watches over the physical needs of those who trust in him. First, the Lord provides nourishment, the green pastures. Sheep are not able to find their own food. They need a shepherd to find the pastures for them to graze. And it must be green pastures because sheep get hungry and will satisfy their hunger in the wrong places. So the faithful shepherd leads the sheep to the green pastures. And once he leads them to the green pastures, he makes them lie down right in that pasture. The shepherd knows what's best for the sheep. He knows the road that's right ahead of them. He knows that those tired and hungry sheep will not even last for the full journey. So he makes them lie down to get that rest. This is how the Lord works in our lives. He makes us lie down to give us rest. How many of you has that happened to? Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Right there, there's three assurances in that verse. First, it tells us that God faithfully leads those who trust in him. The even better news is that he leads us in the path of righteousness. But the best news of it all is that he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The first three verses of this declares that God is worthy of your trust because God is a good God. God is a faithful God. But when you get to verse 4, that scene shifts a little bit. David is no longer in the green pastures or by the still waters. He is now in a very dark valley. But David's confidence in God does not change while he is in that valley. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There is bad news and good news here. You see, David says he guides me through the valley with a rod and a staff to comfort me. He knows that the sheep can't see too far in front of them, so they need the help in guiding them to their destination. When they venture off the path before them, the shepherd uses a rod to guide, the staff to protect the herd. Did you know that sheep have natural predators like coyotes and wolves, foxes and bears, dogs and mountain lions? And all of these enemies make the sheep vulnerable to the predators. Did you know that? Because the sheep are basically defenseless, and they have no means in protecting themselves. But there are times when the righteous ways of God requires that he leads the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. That phrase, the shadow of death, is kind of poetic if you think about it. It is to be a valley that is so dark that it seems that the shadow of death was hidden. There's no sunshine, there's no light. So, what are you using as that guidance? This phrase can apply to death itself, but it is meant to speak to any dark situation where you cannot see your way. A broken heart can be a valley of a shadow of death. Divorce court can be a valley of shadow of death. An unmet need, no money to pay your rent, no food in your house, that could be a valley of a shadow of death. The unemployment line can be a valley of a shadow of death. The death of a loved one is also included in this. I repeat, your trust in God will not keep you from going through the valleys of life. But I'm here to tell you that it is only a shadow. Don't worry. Keep going. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David is literally telling us that the enemies were not really his enemies. They were now the enemies of God. Think about it. He has no worries. He put all faith and trust into God. And once he did that, everything transferred to God. Because of that, David was able to enjoy the meal at the table in spite of his enemies, because he had confidence that the Lord had his enemies under total control. David says, "My cup overflows." Here again, we see a picture of God's generosity. Think about it. If the Lord gave David what he deserved, the cup might be filled with stuff that he received from others, like judgment, condemnation, hate. But instead, God took the cup that David deserved, and he did not leave the cup empty. He poured in this cup blessings and goodness, mercy and favor. But he did not just fill the cup halfway. He filled it all the way to the brim. And after David's cup was full, the Lord kept pouring blessings and blessings until the cup just overflowed. But not only can you count on God throughout this life, you can also count on God beyond this life. You see, verse 6 says, "Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, this closing statement reminds us that the Lord embraces us. He will never change his minds about you, and not even about me. As I make my way to my seat, I want to share one last thing with you. Whatever David's personal circumstances were, he was still able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I ask you, is this your testimony? Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? My testimony on today, with all the things that I've been going through with my mom over the summer, if I can be completely honest with you, I didn't want to go to seminary this year, let alone stand before you and preach on this day. But I'm able to because the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. And it's because I put all trust in God. Because I trust in all the things that the Lord has promised, that I'm able to stand before you on this day. Amen.